The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
For many years now, we've been having a shiur on the second day of Shavuos, on Megillas Rus, which is the time when we read Megillas Rus, B'tzibor, in Shul. I've been asked many times if perhaps we could say the Shir on Rus on the Wednesday night before Shavuos, in order to give those a chance to hear the Shir that cannot come on Yontif. So this year we've chosen that, even though this is not quite the Wednesday night before Shavuos, but there will not be a shiur next Wednesday night because it's too close to Shavuos. So we're going to dedicate this shiur to the Sefer Rus. Vayhi bimei Shvayt ha-Shaftim, vayhi rov ba'oretz. It was during the time of the Shaftim, of the judges, and there was a famine in the land. Vayelech ish mi beis lechem Yehuda lagur bisdei Moav. And a man went from beis lechem Yehuda, to live in Stei Moav, to live in Moav. Huvi ishtei u'shnei vonov. He and his wife and two sons. V'shem ish Elimelech, v'shem ishtei Naomi. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of the woman, his wife, was Naomi. V'shem shnei vonov, Machlein v'chilyein. Machlein and Chilyein were their sons, Ephrosim. Ephrosim, Rashi tells us, chashuvim. They were of nobility. Mibeis Lechem Yehuda vayavo steimo vayushom. They went from the Beis Lechem and they came to Moav. Now this story takes place, Rashi says, lifnei melech melech Shaul, before the reign of Shaul of King Saul. Shohu yaderis mispansim al yidei Shaftim. This was during the time of the Shaftim. There were no kings yet in Israel, but there were judges. And Aptzen was a well-known Shefet. And Rabbi Seino, Aptzen Zebeis. And Aptzen was Boaz, who plays a key role in this story. Now actually, this story does not take place a long time after coming into Eretz Yisrael, because the at the end of the Megillah it tells us that Boaz was the son of Salmon, who was the son of Nachshon ben Amminadav, a descendant of Yehuda. Now, as we all know, Nachshon ben Amminadav was the one who led Klal Yisrael across the Yam Suf, the Red Sea. Mora tells us in Masech Teseita that Nachshon was one of those, according to one opinion, that went in first and said, Hashem Yimloch Le'alam Vo'ed. And Boaz was his grandson. So this means that Boaz was only two generations from the Yetzias Mitzrayim, from the going out of Mitzrayim. It's also Mavur in Chazal, Rashi brings, that Elimelech was a brother to Salmon, a son of Nachshon. So Elimelech was just the first generation of the going out of Egypt and coming into Eretz Yisrael. So the story takes place almost immediately after the Yetzias Mitzrayim, after the Dor HaMidbar, the generation of the desert, when they entered into Eretz Yisrael. Rashi brings later on that there were actually four brothers, Dalad Achim. Elimelech was one. Salmon was another one. Salmon was the father of Boaz, as we mentioned. There was a third one whose name was Tov. And later on, the Megillah calls him Pleni Almeni. And the fourth one was the father of Naomi. So there were four brothers, and they were all the children of Nachshon, who came from the tribe of Yehuda. This would mean that Elimelech married his niece, Naomi, and Boaz was a nephew, also a nephew of Elimelech. Mahlon and Chilion were his cousins. And as we'll see, Naomi was a very righteous woman. And, as mentioned before, Ephrosim, they were all from nobility. And this we'll see also a little further. Why did they leave Eretz Yisrael to go to the land of Moab? So the Megillus Rus relates, Vayirov Ba'oretz, there was a great, very, very great famine. Chazal tell us actually this was a very great famine. Rashi brings Osher Godl Hoyo Upanes Hador. Elimelech was very, very wealthy, and he was from the philanthropists of the generation. And the reason why he left Eretz Yisrael was not that he didn't have what to eat. He was very wealthy. But he couldn't take any more the fact that the anim were boim ledechke. The poor were coming and asking for his money because they didn't have what to eat. And this he couldn't take anymore. Therefore he took his family, and he went to Moab. He was a tzora ayin. He didn't have a good eye for other people. He was very tight-fisted. It's interesting to note that he went to Moab, because on Moab also it states, at the end of Parshas Kisetze, it states on Ammon and Moab that they shall never be allowed to enter into Klal Yisrael, even if they're Megayer, Dor Asiri Ad Olam, even if they convert, Al Dvar Asher Kidmu Eschem Belechem Ubmayim, Al Dvar Asher Lekidmu Eschem Belechem Ubmayim, because when Klal Yisrael came through the desert, and they were coming to the lands of Ammon and Moab, they should have come and greeted them with bread and water, with Achnosis Orchim, but they didn't. Because of this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Rikkun, he distanced them forever from Klal Yisrael. It seems somewhat harsh, this punishment. So the Ramban in Chumash explains that this nation did not have the simonim, these nations did not have the simonim, the signs which would allow them to cleave to Klal Yisrael. Because one of the simonim, one of the signs of a Jew is Gemel Chasodim. Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Avraham Avinu that Ki Yodativ Laman Ashe Yitzave Es Bonav Ubeisai Achrov La'asais Tztoko, that I have brought Avraham close because I know Avraham will imprint and imbue in his sons the Midah of Tztoko. And they, more than any other nation, should have done Tztoko to Klal Yisrael. Because where did Ammon and Moab come from? Torah relates that at the time of Zdeim and Amorah, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham that I'm destroying these cities, and Avraham tried to reverse the decree, but he was unable to. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu at least saved Avraham's nephew Lot from Sodom and Amorah, even though he was not deserving of this, but because of Avraham. And Lot went, and he took his two daughters, and he went to the mountains, and he went into a cave, and there he found a bottle of wine, and he became drunk. And on two consecutive nights, he lived together with his daughters, and they bared two children. And one was Moab, the one they named Moab, and the other Ammon. So these two nations had come from Lot. The entire existence of these two nations were only because of the chesed of Avraham and the schus of Avraham. Lulezes, without this, they would have never lived. So therefore, when the descendants of Avraham came and they needed chesed, so these nations should have been the first ones to come and help. But they refused. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Al dvara shelo kidmu eschem b'lechem u'b'mayim, you are never roi, you are never fit to come into Kahal Yisrael. And therefore, even if you convert, you will not be able to marry into the central community forever. So, it was motzo min es minoy, that Elimelech had found a company similar to him, himself, when he ran away from Eretz Yisrael, and he went to the Stei Moav, to the fields of Moav. Vayomos Elimelech ish Naomi, vatishoer hi ushnei vonecha. Elimelech died, and Naomi was left with the two sons. Vayisu lehem noshim Moavios, shema achas Orpo, v'shema shenis Rus. The two sons, Machlan and Chilion, they married women from Moab. One was the name of Orpah, and the other was Rus. And they stayed there for about 10 years. The Gemara tells us that these two women, both of them, Orpah and Rus, they came from royalty. They were the daughters of Eglon, Melech Moav. Rashi brings one chazal that states, Rei Hashivusam, Shaharei Hisi Eglon Melech Moav es Bitei Lemachlan. The Mamarus Bitei Shel Eglon Hoisam. From here we can see Ephrosim, just how important the family of Elimelech was. Because the king of Moab, Eglon, Melech Moab, was willing to marry his daughters into this family. Eglon was the king at that time, and the Tanakh tells us that he was later assassinated by Ehud. And Eglon also was the son of Bullock. The Gemara brings in Masech Teseta and Daf Mem Zayin Omar Aleph that Eglon was Bnei Shel Bullock. Bullock was the king of Moab at the time Klal Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim, and they were coming through Moab, and Bullock had to do with the hiring of Bilam from Midian to curse Klal Yisrael because they were afraid of them. So Rus and Orpah came from nobility. Their father was a king and their grandfather was a king, and they married into this family. And by nature, Rus was a great tzaddikah. She was very righteous even before she converted to Klal Yisrael. The Chazal Darshan, Rus al shem she rasechas min ha'aveira, she feared aveira. She feared transgression. Orpah, on the other hand, the Chazal Darshan, other descriptions of her, that she was not a tzaddikah, she was not righteous. Later on, we'll see that one of the descendants of Orpah was Goliath. Actually, it states four great giants were to be her seed. And one was Goliath, who later on David HaMelech fought with and killed. Bayomusu gam shnehem. And these two also died, the two sons, Machlon and Chilion. What does it mean, gam, also? Rashi brings, loku b'memeinam u'meisu g'malehem u'meiknehem. B'yachakach meisu gam hem. They lost all of their possessions. They lost their cattle, They lost their herds of camels. And then finally they died also. And the woman Naomi remained with her two, was left without her two children and her husband. Why did such a great punishment come upon Elimelech? He died, his two sons died, and he lost all of his possessions. So the Chazal say one of the reasons is because he was bereach min ha-chesed. He ran away from doing chesed in Stockholm. And midah keneged midah. He didn't want to have others to benefit from his money, so he didn't live to benefit from his wealth. The Vilna Gaon brings that what we do in this world, this arouses that same midah, that same quality in HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the higher worlds. And therefore, when we give do chesed in Stockholm, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do chesed in Stockholm. If we have the midah of Tzoras Ha'ayin, tight, being tight-fisted and not giving to others, then this is the midah, this is the quality which comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, in fact, this was the reason why there was a rov. It wasn't only Elimelech. There were many such people that they were not giving from their possessions to others. So therefore, there was a great famine. And therefore, this is what happened to this family. Actually, the Gaon writes in his commentary, he writes as follows. Ki ikar midas ha-chesed ha-nimshech mi-ita yisborach hu me-ha-chesed she-osa odem lamato. The main quality of chesed, of compassion and goodness which comes from the Almighty, that's because of the chesed, the goodness which man does in this world, like we mentioned. V'hatzad hara hoya lehem hu ma'ashelechom lu ala anim. And they were evil because they did not have compassion on the poor. Ki kol ma'ashe neisin Hashem lezeh yeser mizeh. The entire reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not divide possessions equally, but he gives some more than others, is to give those persons the opportunity to be merciful to their fellow man, and to let them benefit from his property. And since Elimelech didn't do this, so instead of chesed coming from the Almighty, din, judgment came from the Almighty. And this was on all of the people. And this was the cause of the famine and the cause of what took place to Elimelech's family. Then it continues. Vatokam hiva chaloser vatoshev mizdei moav ki shomer mizdei moav ki pokar Hashem esamah leiseis lahem lochem. Naomi and her two daughter-in-laws got up and decided to leave Moab and to go back to Eretz Yisrael because they heard that now in Eretz Yisrael there was bread. Vateitzei min hamokam asher hayisa shoma, and she went out of the place where she was, and the two daughter-in-laws, and they started on the journey back to Eretz Yehuda. From the fact that it states Vateitzei min hamokam, that she went out of the place, and it already tells us that Vatoshev misdei Moav, that she was leaving. So Rashi brings Loman Emar Elamagich Yitzia Sadik min hamokam nikeres. Vateitzei min hamokam, that when a person leaves a place, it's as if he takes a good part of the place with him, if he's a righteous person. Veseration, and it makes a great imprint. Pona ziva, pona hadora, pona shvocha. The glory, the beauty, the praise of the city is diminished when a tzaddik, when a righteous person leaves. And that's what it means, Vateitze min amokom, that she left the city. And so do we find by Yaakov, Vayetze mi Be'er Shova. The Chazal, the sages, Darshan, the same by Yaakov, Vayetze mi Be'er Shova, that when he left, the greatness of the city left with him. Now, here we see two things. Firstly, we see how great Naomi was. Secondly, we see that this klal, this principle, that when a great person leaves a city, so the great levels of the city fall, there's no difference if this great person is a man or a woman. Because here we're speaking, Naomi left the city. In Parshas Vayetze, we're speaking Yaakov left the city. But here we're speaking Naomi. And the Chazal compare the two. Rashi brings it both here and there. So we see that Naomi was compared in this aspect to Yaakov Avinu. That when she left, the levels of the city fell. Batome Naomi lishtecha loseho. Lechna shevna ish leveisimo. Then she told her two daughters-in-laws, she said, you stay here, I'll go myself. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should do chesed with you. Like you did for myself and for your husbands. Vatishak lohen, vatiseno kolon, vatifkeno. And they kissed to leave, and they raised their voices and they wept. And they said, no, we will go with you. And Naomi said, no, there's no reason why you should come with me. What do I have? I don't have any wealth. I don't have any more sons. I'm too old to marry again. You stay here. Vatiseno kolon vatifkena od. They wept a second time. Vatishak orpo lachameso. And Orpo kissed her mother-in-law. This was a kiss of goodbye. Berus dofkabo. Berus cleaved to her. Vatimer hine shove yivimtech alama ve'alalakeha shuvi achre yivimtech. And Ruth said, I will not leave you. I will go where you go. Now the Chazal Darshan here, in the Medrash and also in the Gemara in Masecht Satan, that Membeis, and that Membeis on the base. Orpo kissed her mother goodbye, Vatishak Orpo lechamaisei, her mother-in-law, Ve'ruz dovkevo, and Ruth cleaved to her, Ruth would not let go. Yovei b'nei haneshuka v'yipel b'yad b'nei hadvuka. Because of this, and consistently through this story, we see the tremendous pattern of midah k'neged midah, how every act was repaid by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yovei b'nei haneshuka v'yipelu b'yad b'nei hadvuka. That the seed of the one who merely kissed her mother-in-law and left will fall into the hands of the seed of the one who cleaved to her mother-in-law and will not go. The descendant from Orpah was Goliath. The descendant from Rus was David HaMelech, as we will see. And a few generations later, they were to meet on the battlefield. And Goliath fell into the hands of David. Aschus that David had, that Goliath should fall into his hands, was from his great-grandmother. Because she cleaved to Naomi, she was the Davuka, And Orpah merely kissed her and left. Yipol b'nei haneshuka b'yad b'nei hadavuka. The Gemara also darshans, it states twice that she wept. We read. And so this means, the Gemara learned, she wept four tears. Each time she wept one tear from each eye, Orpah. So she wept four tears. Kodesh Baruch Hu repaid her for that. Beskhus arba dimos, in the skhus that she wept four tears, she was given four giborim, four great giants were born from her. Golias and his three brothers, who were all giants. The Gemara lists them off. What was happening here? The question, should she follow Naomi and go to Yehuda, become part of Yisrael, and go under the Kanfe Hashchina, or should she go back to Moab? This bond was very weak by Orpah, but Ruth dovkava, but Ruth cleaved to her, and Ruth would not let up. So therefore, this was the shkus that was to give David HaMelech late in later generations the power to conquer Goliath. Vatomer Rus Altif Givi Lo Ozvek Loshuv Machroich. And the Rus said, do not try to persuade me to leave you, to forsake you. Kiral Alashir Telchi Elech Ubashir Tolini Olin Amechami Velakayech Elokoy. Where you walk, I will walk. Where you will sleep, I will sleep. Your nation will be my nation. Your God will be my God. Bashir Tomusi Omus Veshome Kover. Where you die, I shall die. And there I shall be buried. Koyase Hashem Li V'chayesiv Ke'amovis Yafik Ben Yuvenech. Only death shall part us. Rashi brings from here that we learn many halachos, many laws of gerush, when it comes to conversion. Mikan Omur Rabbeinu, the sages say, Ger Shebol is Gayer, if a person comes to convert, Meidim Lei Mixes Einshim, Sheibo Laksor Be Yaksor, Shemitech Voreho Shorus Atolom Am Mashom Lelorom Omi. From what Ruth said, we can understand the dialogue that was taking place. And from here we learn how to treat a potential ger, a convert. As it states, Ruth, Naomi said to Ruth, why do you want to come with me? We have so many laws. Also, lono lotzei schutz l'tchum b'Shabbos. We're not allowed to walk wherever we want on Shabbos. You cannot go outside of the city. So she answered, "Bashir telechi elech, where you will walk, I will walk." Also, lono lishache nekevim zocha sheina bailo. A man is not allowed to be in seclusion or sleep with a woman that's not his wife. Omru lo bashir tolini olin, where you will sleep, I will sleep. Ameinu muvdolin misharamin b'sheish meyais u'shleish esrei mitzvos. Our nation is different than your nation in 613 ways. Amechami, your nation shall be my nation. Also, lono aved zora, we're not allowed to serve other gods. Elokoich, elokoi, your God shall be my God. Arba misus nimser lebezdin. If a person doesn't keep a mitzvah, some mitzvahs carry with them corporal and capital punishment. And Bezdin, the courts were given authority of four different types of death sentences. She said, "Basher Tomusi Omus, the way you die, I shall die." Shnei Kforim Nimser El Bezdin, Echal Niskolim VeNisrofin, VeEchal Neharogim VeNechnokin. We don't even bury people in the same places. If someone is a rosho, is wicked, and he transgressed certain mitzvahs where he received capital punishment, we have to bury him in one place. And if someone received a more severe capital punishment, he's buried in another place. She answered, "Bushome kover, I will be buried the same way you will be buried." So from here, We learn that when a ger bolis gayer, this the Gemara brings in Masechta Yom Omos, so medim lay miksais chamureis u miksais kalis. We must tell him some of the severe laws of the Torah, shimbol achsu yachsor, because we want that if he's going to back out, he should back out now. And at the same time, though, we tell him also some of the lighter laws of the Torah. Then it states, "Vatera ki misametzes hi laleches ito." Naomi saw that no matter what she told Ruth, she could not dissuade her from coming along. Vatechta ledaber elecho. So she stopped. She stopped trying to dissuade her. So Rashi brings another halacha. We learn from here, Mikan ein marbin olav ein medaktik olav. We are supposed to try to discourage someone from converting, but if after we discourage them they are still insistent, then vatechtel, then we must be quiet and we must let them convert. This is what we learn from here. Vatelachto shtehem ad beine beis lochem. They both came, they walked together until they came to Beis Lechem. What does it mean they walked together? So Rashi brings Omar Rababo. Rababo said, Borei kamo chavivim agerim lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Come and see how dear gerim the converts are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. See, one might think that since Torah was given to Zer Abraham, Yitzchok and Yaakov, to the seed of Abraham and Yitzchok and Yaakov, so it is true we accept converts from other nations, but that's a second-class citizen. Because after all, they're not the direct descendants of Abraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. Torah tells us not like that. States for after Mesagir, that Hagir ve Ezroch, Mishpot Ach Echot, that the same law applies. We cannot make any distinction. And not only that, but there are many mitzvahs that we are obligated more by the ger than someone else. And Rabbi Bola says, here we go even further. See how dear gerim are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kiven shenit no dait lizgar, hishvei so akosav lenomi. It says, vateilachto shtehem, they both walk together. But what do you mean they both? Naomi was this tzaddikus, this righteous woman, that it compares her to Yaakov, that when they left the city fell. Ruth was still a Nochries. Ruth was still a Gentile. She hadn't converted yet. She wanted to, but she hadn't yet. There had to be a Bezdin. Conversion has to take place in front of a Bezdin. You need a court. So what does it mean they walk together, that the Torah refers to them, shtehem, together? So from here, Ababu darshant, that we see once a ger decides that he wants to become his gayer, and it's a serious, he's made the decision, Hishva Isha Kosev Lo Naomi. Now the Torah compares Ruth to Naomi. This is a halacha we learn from here. Because from here, once someone has converted, then he's a full-fledged Jew. But before, he's not. How should we treat that person? So here we see that once he's made the decision, it's a firm decision to be Mizgaya, to convert, we have to have the greatest respect for that person. Because we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hishvaisa Naomi, has turned her together with Naomi. As they came into Beis Lechem, the whole city was tehom, the whole city was tumult. There was a confusion in the city. Why? On that day, the wife of Boaz, who was the shefet, died. And the whole city was upset and confounded, and they were all coming to the Levaya. Then they said, Azeis Naomi, is this Naomi? The Naomi that we knew of, that left with so much wealth, a husband and sons. And she said, Naomi comes from the word Na'im, which means pleasant and beautiful. This was a sign, these were her ways. She said, don't call me Naomi, call me Mora. Ki heimar shadali mi od, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has embittered my life much. Then they came back, and it was bitchilas k'tir sa'ori. It was the beginning of the harvest of the barley. The beginning of the harvest of the barley, we just learned in last week's parsha, is the day after Pesach. It states in the Torah, Rimolchoros HaShabbos, on the day after the first day of Pesach, first day of Chol HaMoed in Eretz Yisrael, which is the Tchilas K'tir Sa'orim, the beginning of the harvest of the barley. So the Beis Din goes out and cuts the Omer, they cut a measure, and that should be the first of the cuttings of the harvest. That's the beginning of the Omer, and then we count the Sfiras HaEmer. So here it states, B'tchilas K'tir Sa'orim, and Rashi brings, K'tir Sa'emer HaKosim L'Adaber, speaking that this was the K'tir Sa'emer. Later on it tells us, at the end of the next of Perek Gimel, it states that she stayed in the field through till the end of the K'tir Sa'orim and to the end of the K'tir HaChitim, to the end of the harvest of the barley and the end of the harvest of the wheat. The beginning of the harvest of the wheat, we learn, is that on Shavuos, because on Shavuos the Bikurim, the first crops of the wheat, were brought in the Beis HaMikdash. That was the Shtei Alechem. We just spoke about that last Shabbos. She stayed in the field, as we're going to see, till the end of the harvest, which is beyond Pesach. At any rate, so the story is taking place from right after, which is beyond Shavuos. So the story is taking place right at, when they came back to Beis Lechem, right after Pesach, and through Shavuos time and beyond Shavuos time. That's one of the reasons that's brought in Halacha as to why we read the Megillas Rus on Shavuos, since it takes place during this season. Another reason is brought is it speaks of Gerus. This parsha, this sefer, speaks of Gerus, Rus, and Rus was a Georus. We've had many, many Gerim in Klal Yisrael, and we've had some very, very great ones. And two, just two to be noted, was Yisro and Rus. It's interesting that the parsha of Yisro is also by Matan Torah. Matan Torah is in Parshas Yisro, although the Chazal say that he was not there for Matan Torah. But Vita Parsha Eches B'Torah, he added an extra parsha to the Torah when he gave Moshe Eitzah how to, with the Dayonim, with the judges. Yes, sir. And Ruth, that we see what she did here. We will learn later on that from her came out the whole Malchus Beis David, the kingdom of Dovra Melech. So we've had some very illustrious Gerim. It's also brought that therefore this has a relationship to Matan Torah, because by Matan Torah Kol Yisrael also went through a Gerus. It's brought that they went to Har Sinai like they were Gerim, with Tfila, Mila, and Korban. Now the states of Naomi Moda Leisho Ish Gibor Chayal Mimishpachas Elimelech Ushmaim Boaz. Naomi had a relative, as we mentioned, Elimelech was a son of Salmon. Excuse me, Boaz was a son of Salmon, and Naomi was a daughter of Salmon's brother. So they were cousins. Vatomer Rus Amoavio el Naomi Elchono Asode Valaktav the Shibolim, Achar Asher Em Sochein Beinot. This Boaz was a great person. As we mentioned before, this was Absan. He was the Shefet. He was Godel Hador. He was the leader of the generation and the leader of the Sanhedrin. And he was a wealthy person. He was an old man, though. Chazal tell us that at this time he was 80 years old. And Rus came and she said, that we need food, we have no money, so I will go to the field, I will go to a field and I will cleave what I can. There's a halacha in Eretz Yisrael where if you have a field, there are many matonas, many givings that you have to give to the poor. There's peah, you have to leave the corners of your field unharvested for the poor. Shikha, if you forget to harvest any, that goes to the poor. Leket, and so forth. If certain amounts are not cut, if certain amounts are dropped. All kinds of halachas in Eretz Yisrael that this has to be left for the poor, so it was customary that the poor would go through the fields to see what they could get. So she said she'll go. So Naomi told her to go. Vatelech vatove vatlakeit basode acharakeitzrim vayiker mikreha chelkas asode levayez. Hashem mishpachas Elimelech. It happened. It happened coincidentally that when she went out from the city into the fields, and it was very complicated because it states that she made signs all the way, she went and came back and made signs all the way along so she shouldn't get lost, because you go out into the fields and it was harvest time, so the crops were high. It happened that she came upon the field of Boaz. Now, this just didn't happen. This was the Yad Hashem, the hand of Hashem. Now she was, as we will see, she was to marry Boaz. Gemara tells us that Zivugim is Me'es Hashem. When it comes to a Zivug, this is Me'es Hashem from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He guides it. So here we see how he had guided her to happen to come upon the field of Boaz. And Boaz returned, he was in the city, he returned from Beis Lechem, and he said, Laketzri Hashem Imochem, is Hashem with you? Vayemru Lei Yivarecha Ko Hashem. And he asked, who is this young girl? Now, here the Chazal bring, here Boaz was an old man, he was nobility, he was the shefet. He owned many fields, so no doubt there were plenty of people around. So is he asking after young girls? So evidently he saw something which made him ask. First of all, he saw modesty in her. He saw that she conducted herself with a tznius ubusha, with a modesty and wisdom. And he saw wisdom in her. First of all, if you leave over a certain amount of crops, up to a certain amount, the anim can take, the poor can take. If you leave over more, they cannot take. There's many halachos. He saw that she was taking only what was allowed according to the law. So he saw she was a chachoma. She knew the halachos. And secondly, he saw she was a tsunua, because if she had to pick up something from the ground, she didn't bend over, but she sat on the ground rather, and then cleaved it, because of modesty and busha and shame. So this attracted his attention, and that's why he said, "Lemi anarazos." This evidently he didn't see in others coming in his field, so he asked. And they said, "Nara Mavio, she's from Moab," and she came back with Naomi. And she came, and she's been working in the field, and she's been here from morning till night. Actually, the Gaon brings that they had just come back. And usually it's the Derech Hatzlonim. Those people are not too ambitious. If they come back from a journey, they rest up for a while. She immediately went to the field to take responsibility, to see that there should be some food to eat. And she's working all day. And she went home to rest just for a little time. And you can imagine, in the harvest time in Eretz Yisrael, in the sun, the heat is very intense. So Boaz went over to her. And he said, Shomati, Shomat Biti, I have heard of you. He had heard of the story, how she would not forsake her mother-in-law, and she came back with her. And he said, I want you to remain in my field. Do not go to any other field, and I will command my workers that they are not to bother you, and you stay here and work in the field, and if you're thirsty, go take something to drink, which are for the workers. And she was very taken in by what he said, and she bowed to him, and she said, Madua motzosi chein beinecha lahakireini vanechi nochriyo, I'm a stranger to you. Why are you being so kind to me? And Boaz said, Hu geid hu gadli kol asher osis eskamoseich acharei meis ishech. Because it has been told to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law after your husband died, that you forsook your father and mother. Now we must remember here that Ruth was a princess. She was the daughter of Eglon, Melech Moav, who was the king of Moav, who was the son of Balak, the king of Moab. So she was a princess. And she had enormous wealth. Now when she first married, so the family of Elimelech also was very wealthy and noble. But now they were diminished to nothing. Her husband died. Naomi had lost all her wealth. By her leaving, meant she would forsake the royalty and forsake her wealth and forsake Eretz Moladeteich, her land of birth, and she's going to a land and to people that she did not know. Asher lo yadata mol shoshon. This was an enormous chesed. Why was she doing this? That's what Naomi was saying. I have nothing to give you anymore. I have no wealth. I have no sons. I have no nobility. Why was she doing this? She was doing it merely because of chesed. Because she felt that she could not forsake Chameso, her mother-in-law. So he saw chesed in her. And he was very taken in by this, Boaz. So he said, Yishalem Hashem Po'aleich. Also he saw that she wanted to become part of the nation of Naomi. Yishalem Hashem Po'aleich Uschi Maskoteich Shlema Mim Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Kodesh Baruch Hu should repay you for this in fullness. Oni, she said, my Lord, I shall find grace in your eyes, ki nichamtoni. You have brought me nechoma, you have brought me comfort, you have spoken to your maidservant, on the heart of your maidservant, and I am not even like one of your maidservants. Then he said, you stay in my field, and when it comes time to eat, you go over and take food, and take your bread, and put it in vinegar. Rashi says, here we learn that vinegar is very good to eat in the heat, and you eat and whatever you want and so forth, and I will command my workers that they are not to touch you, they are not to bother you. And then he really told her also, the Chazal say, to take more, not only take what according to the halach is, but I'm giving you, you take even more. And they will not bother you. She stayed that day until nightfall, and she gathered together an ephah se'orim. An ephah is a great amount. Rashi brings in Parshas Bishalach, in the Parsha of the Mon, he brings that an ephah is gimel so, three so. And the mon, which fell every day in the midbar, in the desert, the Torah tells us was asiris ephah, a tenth of an ephah, which was the eimer, sheer eimer. And that was sufficient for two meals for one person. For every person fell an omer lagugolis. If he had one person, there was one Omer. If there were 10 people in his family, he would have 10 Omers. Omrim. And an Omer was sufficient for two meals. And that was the equivalent of 43 and a fifth eggs of flour or of wheat. And that was enough for shtei sudas for two meals. Those days, they basically ate two meals a day. That was enough for two meals. That was enough to maintain one person for an entire day. That was a tenth of an ephah. She gathered together an ephah. So which would mean that that was enough for 10 people to eat. For 10 people to eat a full day's food, or for one person to eat for 10 days. Then it states, she came home, Batisha Vatova Yir, Batera Hames Esa Shelekato, Batesi Vatita in Laisa Shelesir Mishova. She came home and she gave to her mother-in-law after she had eaten and was satisfied. So at first it doesn't seem much. It seems that she took everything she wanted and what was left over she gave to her mother-in-law. But actually to the contrary, because one person would only eat maximum a tenth of an ephah, so it means 9/10 she gave to her mother-in-law. Then her mother-in-law said, "Where did you get all of this? Who was so nice to you? Who was so good to you?" And she told him the story. She happened to come on the field of Boaz, and he said, "Boaz, Baruch Lashem, Leozav Chazdoi, he has not forsaken his chesed of the Chaim and the Mesim of living and dead." He says, "This is a korov lono. He is a korov. This was my husband's nephew." And she told him the story and how he commanded all of his workers not to bother her and so forth and so on. So she says, so Naomi said, "It's best that you stay with them and do not go through any other field." So Ruth continued to work in that field. But through the entire barley season and through the entire harvest of the wheat. Then in Perek Gimel, as time went on, Naomi said, "I have to do something for you." She said that tonight Boaz is going to be in his threshing house. Goren asorim alaylo. He's going to be threshing his barley. And he'll be working there all day and he'll sleep there at night. Rashi brings that he slept there at night to guard. So berachatz v'sacht v'samtzim losayech olayich. Go and bathe and anoint yourself with oils and put on simlosayech, your best clothing. Rashi brings big day Shabbos, the yirart hagoren, and go down to the threshing house. And go down towards evening. And do not make yourself known until he's finished eating his supper and he's finished drinking. And when he goes to sleep, you go to sleep by his legs. And he will tell you, he will instruct you." And she said, "Whatever you tell me to do, I will do." She went down to the threshing mill and she did all that her mother-in-law commanded her. Now here Ashi brings from the Chazal. Her mother-in-law told her to dress in her best clothing and go to the threshing mill. She went first and then changed. Why? Again, because of Midas Hatznius, because of her modesty. Because she said, "If I'm going to walk through the streets, it's towards evening, mikushetes, and all ornamented, and all in my best clothing, and I'm going out towards the fields, hapegia bivarei, siyema shani zena, people will think I'm a harlot, I'm a prostitute." So therefore, she went in her regular clothing, and she didn't ornament herself until she got there. Boaz ate and he drank, and he brought goodness to his heart. What does it mean, he brought goodness to his heart? So Rashi says, Osak b'Torah. He ate, worked all day, then he ate supper, he drank wine, and then it was Osak b'Torah. It's actually a shaila with a Tesfis and Erechin and a few Aleph. The Gemara says, Misamche Lev Mikri. But Yitav Lei Ikri. The Torah is usually referred to as Simcha, but not Tev. He brings Rashi, he brings from Midrashim, here is Tov. Why does it say Tov? The Ragachov, Zichlein Vrocha, brings from the Yishalmi that it wasn't merely a coincidence that what he learned that night. It's brought that there were certain halachos that were nis'alim b'yimei evlei shel Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe died, which was not too much before this, it's just a few generations before, during the mourning period of Moshe Rabbeinu, there were certain halachos, certain laws which became forgotten, which became confused from Klal Yisrael. And one of these laws was, we learned before, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, an amen in Ma'ev, Ma'av, that the children of Ammon and Moab, lo yoveh b'kal Hashem, they are not allowed to marry into Kahal Hashem. Even if they'll convert, you are not allowed to marry into the central community. And they were having difficulty clarifying the halacha, if this was referring to both the Zekorim and the Kevas, both men and women, or only men and not women. And there was a dispute that was raging for a few generations over this. And Boaz, being the Shefet, had interested himself in this halacha, and he was studying this issue. It wasn't merely by coincidence. The Gaon brings, he also was interested. His wife had died, he also was looking for a shidduch. And he saw this young woman, and he saw the great qualities in her, of chesed and chochma and snius. So that could have been another reason why he was studying this issue. At any rate, by Yitav Liboy that night, he came upon Biru Halocha. He had clarified the Halocha to his full satisfaction. That the Halocha is Mo'avi v'lei Mo'avis. The men and not the women. Because they were held responsible for not coming out and bringing Lechem U'mayim. Because Klal Yisrael didn't come into the city, they stayed outside of the city. And it's not the way of the women to go outside of the city to meet armies that are coming in, or to meet great numbers of people. So the responsibility were on the men, not on the women, and therefore the women were not held responsible. And the Ragachov said, the greatest tov is biru halacha, clarification of a halacha. Especially, we could add here, because we find that Tov, the word Tov, only is on something which is Sholim, something complete. Where do we find this? In the Maaseh Bereishis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and each day it says, Vayar Ki Tov, he saw it was good. But on Yom Sheni, Monday, he didn't say Vayar Ki Tov. Why? Shulei Nigmara Melechas HaMayim. Because what he started on Monday was not completed on Monday till Tuesday. And Tov is on only something which is complete and perfect. So Biru Halocha, where we come to a concise, complete conclusion of a Halocha, that's Tov. Therefore it states, Vayitav Liboy. He went to sleep. Ruth came and she lay down next to him, by his legs. Vayi bachatzi alayla, in the middle of the night, Vayecharad ho'ish, Vayilofesh. Vayini ishe sheheves margul reisov. He felt something in the middle of the night, and he was going to scream. He thought it was a shade. He thought it was a devil, and he was going to scream. Then it states he felt her hair. So he felt it was a woman. He says, "Miot, who are you?" Batemar anechi Rus amasecho. I am Rus, your maidservant, who forasto knofechol al amoscho ki goel oto. Take your garment and spread it over me. That's a loshen nesuin. Take me as a wife, marry me, because you're a goyel, because you're a relative, you're the closest relative to our family. Vayomer, so he answered her and he said, Brucha at Lashem biti, blessed are you, my daughter. Now Rashi explains here, what does it mean, ki goel ato? So Rashi explains, my husband left over the fields. The closest relative should buy the fields. But I want that the name of my husband should always be remembered. If we sell the fields just the way they are, so it will be forgotten that these fields belong to him and his name will be forgotten. And therefore, I want that the one that buys the fields shall marry me. Then people will see me in the field and they'll remember that I was the wife of Machlon. Then they'll remember this is the field of Machlon. V'yizkor shem hameis, his name will be continued. His name will be remembered. So therefore she said, you must take me. You are our closest relative. You are to take the field, you must take me. So he said, Bruchat l'Hashem bitei taft chazdeka achrein min rishon. Blessed are you to Hashem. This chesed that you're doing now is greater even than the first chesed. Levilti leches achrei abachurim imdal v'mosher. Because the first chesed you did was to leave your family and to go with your mother-in-law, not to forsake her. And now you're doing a chesed, not for yourself, but for your late husband, that his name should be continued and remembered. You are proposing marriage to me. I'm an old man. You're young. You should be going after the bachurim. Why are you coming to me? Again, for chesed ames, for the chesed for your husband. This is even a greater chesed. This, that a woman should go together with her mother-in-law, this is one chesed. But to be willing to marry an old man like me for the zecher hameis, this is even a greater chesed. Actually, the Rashi brings in Sefer Keheles near the end on the posuk, Babek Ezra Ezarecho Uve Erev Al Tanach Eshudecho. He brings that Afsin Boaz had given birth to 60 children, 30 daughters and 30 sons. So he was not a youngster. So he said, this chesed is even greater. Ba'ato biti al tiri kol asher teimri aser loch ki yedea kol shar ami ki yesh eschayel ot. And he says, what you say, I'll do, because everyone knows of your great righteousness. However, he said, Omnam ki im geil amechi v'gam yesh geil korav mimeni. I might be a relative, but there's a relative even closer. Lini halayo v'hayvabeki migolech tov yigo. Stay here tonight, and in the morning I will go to Tov. As we mentioned, there were four brothers. One was Elimelech, the other was Salmon, the father of Boaz, the other was the father of Naomi, and then there was a fourth brother whose name was Tov. Now he's closer because he was an uncle to your husband, to Machlon, while I'm only a cousin. So the first rites of Geula to redeem the fields and to marry you must go to him. So tomorrow we will go to him. Im yachpeitz, if im lo yachpeitz ligolech, ugaltach anechi chai Hashem. If he will not redeem you, then I will do it. Then chai Hashem is a shvur. So she said, but with words would you just get rid of me? So chai Hashem, he took a shvur, he took an oath. At first she was thinking maybe it was just an excuse. He took an oath. And then the Chazal bring another. He took another oath that even though he was unmarried and she was unmarried and they were together in the threshing meal at night, he would not touch her. That was the second oath he took. They stayed there until morning, and then before anyone could see, it was still dark, she got up and she went. Again, because of Midas Hatznius, she didn't want anybody to see her coming from there. And he said, give me your scarf that you have, your shawl, and he gave Shesh Orim. He gave her six barleys. So if it's six saw, the Chazal say, six saw is two ephahs. That's too much for a woman to carry. Single barleys he gave her. Why? He gave her as a sign that from you will come a son who will be blessed with six brochas. The brocha of Chochma, wisdom, Bina, Eitzo, understanding, counsel, Gvura, strength, Das, knowledge, Yiras Hashem and the fear of Hashem. This was Dovra Melech. That from you will come a son who will have all of these qualities, and he's referring to Dovra Melech. She went back to Naomi and she told him what happened, and she said that he will take care of it right away, one way or the other. Then we learn in Perek Dalet, Vayas Ola Ashar V'yeshiv Shom V'inei Agoel Eiver Asher Diber Boaz V'yome Sura Shva Pei Pleni Almeni V'yosev V'yeshiv. Boaz, the next morning he went to the gates. The gates, this was the place of the Zakenim, the elders. And he called Tov. And he said, come. V'yikach Asora Noshim Mizikneir. And he gathered together 10 elders. The Gemara in Subas in the first Perek. Some say he brought 10 because if he was going to marry her, see, he would have to make Birchas Eresin. And Birchas Eresin is Basora. He wanted a minion for Birchas Eresin for the Barochas of the Chupa. And others say that he took 10. Why did they? What? Birchas Nesuin. Birchas Nesuin. And the others say, why did he need Zakenim? Why elders? They pursue Me Milsa. He wanted to give the Biru Halalocha. If he was going to marry her, there was a Shiloh, was he allowed to marry her? Because she was from Moab. V'liyove b'kal Hashem. They weren't allowed to marry into the community. But he had clarified to full satisfaction that this was Dafke, the males and not the females. But he wanted Lefarshim Hadover, he wanted to make this known, clear. So he wanted a Bezdin, he wanted a court. And that's why he gathered together 10 elders. And he brought the other girl. He had the other girl, the other relative come. And he said, he told him the story. He says that this woman, this is the wife of Machlein, and they want to sell their fields. And the closest relative should buy the fields. You're the closest relative. Either you buy or I will buy. I'm the next relative. So he said, I will buy the fields. Then Boaz told him the condition. Naomi and Rusa are making a condition. They will sell the fields only to the relative who will marry Rus, in order that the name should be perpetuated of her husband. On that condition, the girl, the relative said, I cannot take it. Ben Ashki says, Nachlosi. Because if I do it, I might ruin my seed. Rashi says, Losi is Pam Gambizari. Lo Yove Ameni Moavi. Because she's from Moab. And you're not allowed to take a Moavi into your family. She said, therefore, I can't do it. If you want, you take her. Es gulosi kilo uha ligo. I cannot take her. So Boaz said, all right, I will take her. And he made a kinyan halipin. That's one of the we learn halochas from here. Vayomer Boaz laskenim. And Boaz said to the elders v'chol ha'om and to the nation, Eidim atem hayom, you are witnesses that I have acquired everything that belonged to Elimelech, to Kilian, Machlein, from Naomi. And also Rusa Moavio, the wife of Machlein, Konisi Lilisha. I have taken for a wife, Lohokim Shem Amesa Nachlose, in order that the name of her husband, her dead husband, should be perpetuated together with the inheritance. Velo Yikore Shem Ames Mimecho Vimishar Mekeme, the name shall not be cut off. Eidim Atem Hayom, you are all witnesses. Now here, we have a question. It states in Posuk Aleph of this Perek, it does not refer to Tov by the name of Tov, but rather Pliny Almaini. Rashi says Pliny is from the word Pelev Kifli. The Megillah here conceals his name. He had a wonderful name, Tov, but it refers to him as Pliny. Pliny is whenever we want to give someone an anonymous, make him anonymous, we call him Pliny. So that it conceals his name. And Almaini means a widower. So Rashi says, Almain midivrei Torah. He was widowed from Torah. Why? Because had he studied Torah the way he should have, he would have darshaned, he would have expounded Mo'avi v'le Mo'avif, that only the male from Mo'av and not the females are allowed, not allowed to enter into the community. And he didn't darshan, therefore the Almoni, therefore he was an Alman b'divrei Torah. That's why the Torah conceals his name and calls him Pliny and Almaini. But it's a kasha. He says, Le'ucha legal, I cannot take her penashki sestach losi, because if I bring a Moavit into my family, I will ruin my seed. Losis pgamish pocha. It's two questions. He says, Gualacho, you take her. Firstly, if you're not allowed, what is he telling Boaz, you take her for? Here, Boaz is a Fruma Jew. He says, I can't take her because she's forbidden, you take her. Secondly, Boaz was the shofet. Boaz was Gadol HaDor. He was the leader of the generation. He was Atzon. He was the head of the Sanhedrin. And he had brought Esther Zekanim, he had brought 10 elders to be Mefarshim Dover. He was waiting for someone to challenge him, Lahalocha, to refute what he said. And no one could refute what he said because he brought Raya's Brudas, he brought clear proofs to the Biru Halocha, to the Hachra, to the decision that he had given. So here he, and immediately after it states, Edim Atem, you are all witnesses that I have taken Rus HaMoavio as a wife. So what does this mean? So the answer seems to be that he said, look, you hold that she's permissible, she's muteris. I cannot disagree with you. I'm not your level of Talmud Chochem that can disagree. She's permissible. But that still doesn't mean that I have to marry her. She's still from a nation of Moab. Moab was a hated nation in the world to Klal Yisrael. Not only were they hated, but they were from the few, very few nations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu distanced forever from Klal Yisrael. Therefore, you say she's permissible, but I don't want her. She's from Moab, she's from this hated nation, and I want to be Mahadir, I want to be Machmir. The basic halacha is all right. So go halacha, you want to take her. But I will not bring that into my family, pen ashki sasnach losi, because I will bring a pagam to my family. A person has a right to look for yichus. Yeah. A person has a right. And this the Torah said, Almaini. Alman midivrei Torah, you're a widow from Torah. You don't understand Torah. Torah is gzeres HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the decrees from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu says something is osur, it's osur, it's forbidden. If it's muteris, if it's permissible, it's permissible. What are you coming? To add laws to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that the nekevas are mutaris, and you say no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that it will not be ashchi ses nachlosei, it will not bring a pagam to your family, and you say it will. That's why he's called an alman. He's far from Torah. Instead of the birur halacha, that's tov, that goes with the das Hashem, with the knowledge in the chokhmah, he was going with emotion. Don't pasken halachas with emotion. That's the first aspect. That's why he was called alman. He's far from Torah. Torah is chokhmah Hashem. And here he's coming with hysteria. But why was he called Pliny? Why was he called Pliny, though? Why did the Torah conceal his name? It's very good why the Torah concealed his name. His name was Tov. The greatest Tov, we said before, is to bring Halacha to its conclusion. Vayitav Liboy, that Boaz brought goodness to his heart with the beer of this Halacha. To bring something to perfection, that's Tov. This person, whose name was Tov, just destroyed perfection. He's not the Roy for the name. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, that name doesn't belong to you. He erased it from the Megillah. Before he was called Tov, but not now. He erased it from the Megillah. Then a second reason. He didn't give him any name. Why didn't he give him another name? He says, why aren't you taking her into your family? Because you're worried about your name. Bring someone from Moab into my family and ruin my family name. He's worried about his name. He said, go alecho. He's told Boaz, if you're not worried about your name, so you take it into your family. But I'm worried about my name. Boaz, on the other hand, he was not worried about his name. He was worried more about Torah. Torah says, Moavi vele Moavit. The Torah says that if a person is righteous, then she's righteous. He said, everybody calls Sharami. My whole nation knows ki Eishes Chayolat, that you are a righteous woman. What you did for Naomi, and now what you want to do for your husband. She had come to enormous levels of righteousness. And now you want to defame her. You want to defame her name with a fabrication, with a fictitious reason to protect your name. You want to destroy her name to protect your name. So your name will be Pliny. Rashi brings Kisui Nis'alim. You'll have no name. His name was erased from the Megillah. Boaz, on the other hand, that was protecting her name to the point where he said, I'll even marry you. You can imagine that could create a scandal. He's taking a Moavid, Ashes Ruth HaMoavio. And until now, there was a dispute. If she was, this dispute raged even further, because we find in the Tanakh that David HaMelech was slandered. There were those that wanted to keep him from the throne because they said he was. He says when Saul asked, "Who is his father?" because he looks like someone that's fit for a king. So Doeg said, "You should ask better if he's royal kohol. You should ask if he's permissible to come into Klal Yisrael because he comes from Eishes Moavioth." He comes from Moab. Generations later, there was slander over this, so you could imagine what slander was here. And he was the shefet. He was the leader of the generation. People would say, all right, some nobody, if he wants to marry her, that's one thing, but you, if he came to Rabim, Farheshe, he said, the Gemara says, why did he bring, he didn't do it through the back door where no one will know. Vayikach, he took 10 zikanim, 10 elders. The Gemara says, why? Le'pusume milsa, to let everybody know that what the halacha is. So he wasn't concerned with his name. He rather was concerned with the name of the tzaddikis. So Kodesh Baruch Hu said, you will be zeichel l'shem olam. From here you will have a name forever. The greatest name in Klal Yisrael came out from Boaz. Dovid HaMelech, Shlema HaMelech, and the Melech HaMashiach. So Tov, who was concerned with his name, he thought he was concerned with Torah. He wasn't concerned with Torah. He was concerned with his name and wanted to defame the name of Rus, then your name will be Ploni. It will be concealed and eradicated from the Megillus Rus. And Boaz, that was concerned with someone else's name and not his own name, and the name of Torah, you'll be Zeichel Shem Olam, to a name forever. Now this is not new. This is not a new Hanogah by Shevet Yehuda. This he had learned from his grandfather and his great-grandfather, because Nachshon did the same thing. Mordechai says, Shevet Yehuda ki nishem shemayim barabim. Why are Yehuda? In Yehuda we find all the four letters of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, Yud and the Hey and the Vov and the Hey. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give the letters of his name to Yehuda? The Gemara brings in Seter, because they were Makadish, they sanctified my name, the Farhesha. This tribe consistently sanctified my name publicly, therefore my name shall be expressly imprinted in them. Where? Nachshin ben Amidodov. No one wanted to go into the raging sea. They said, let's go back to Egypt. Let's kill Moshe Rabbeinu. What did he bring us out here for? Ain't falling by Mitzrayim, there are no graves in Egypt. And Nachshon jumped into the raging sea and said, Hashem yimloch le'alom v'ed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reign forever and ever. Ki d'shem shemayim v'fareshu. Boaz learned it from Nachshon, and Nachshon learned it from Yehuda. Because Yehuda also was prepared to destroy his own name to save the name of another person. Yehuda also was involved in a scandal. He had lived with Tamar, and Yehuda was the personality of the generation. In his place he was the Shefet. And he had lived together with Tamar, and Tamar was pregnant, and Yehuda said she should be killed, she should be burnt. And Tamar sent the staff and the ring and the garment, and she said, whoever this belongs to, he is the father. And Yehuda had a great dilemma. If he admits, then he will scandalize his name. And not only his name, he'll scandalize the name of Malchus, because from Yehuda was supposed to come Malchus. Was supposed to come the Melech HaMashiach. What right does he have to scandalize his name in the name of the Mashiach? On the other hand, if he doesn't admit, then he defames the name of Tamar, and he will kill her. And he says, Sot Krobimeni. He let his own name forego, and he said, she is righteous. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you thought that you're destroying yourself and saving her. By saving her, firstly, because you worried about this woman who was an orphan, Yesoma, you will be made Shofet La'elam. From you will come Shoftim, judges forever. Kings who are judges. And because you saved Tamar, you have made yourself a name forever. Because Tamar was carrying in her womb Peretz. Had he destroyed her, Peretz would have been destroyed. And that was the genealogy of Dovra Melech and Boaz. By not concerning yourself for your own name, but for her name, you gave yourself a name forever. Then the nation answered and said, "Vayemru kol ha'om b'shar v'askenim edim. We are witnesses. Yitein Hashem es isha bo ala beischecho, kerochel kelea asher bonu shteim es beish Yisrael." That this woman should be like Rochel and Leah. That from both of them were built the house of Israel. V'aseichal be'afrosev v'kod Hashem b'beish locha. And your house, they told him, should be like the house of Peretz, that Tamar gave birth to for Yehuda. So shall your seed be from this young woman. Then the Megillah tells us, he took her, he made her his wife, and she gave birth to a son. And the women told Naomi that she is better to you than seven sons. And Naomi took the son and she nursed it, and they called the son Obed, who Avi Yishai, Avi David. Obed was the grandfather of David HaMelech, the father of Yishai, the father of David. The Eila told us Peretz. Yehuda gave birth to Peretz, Peretz to Chetzron, to Rom, to Aminodov, Aminodov to Nachshon, Nachshon to Salmon, Salmon to Boaz, Boaz to Obed, Obed to Yishai, and Yishai to David. So Ruth not only became the wife of Boaz, who was from the seed of David, the seed of Yehuda, and the Shaphat, but she was to become the great-grandmother of David HaMelech, and the great-great-grandmother of Shlomo HaMelech, that he was to build the binyan, the Beis HaMikdash. The Medrash tells us, "Vatosem kisei le'em hamelech, vayosem kisei le'em hamelech." That Shlomo HaMelech, when he was sitting on his throne, and Bathsheba, his mother, was there, it states, "Vayosem kisei le'em hamelech." He made a throne for the mother of the king. This would seem it refers to Bathsheba. Medrash tells us now. Bathsheba was not the mother of the king. Imar Shel Malchus is Ruth. The mother of kingship by Klal Yisrael was Ruth. And Ruth did not depart from this world until she was zeicha to see not only her son Obed, and her son Yishai, and her son David, but even her great-great-grandson, Shlomo HaMelech. Vayosem kisei le'em HaMelech, that she should sit on the throne of Shlomo HaMelech, because she was the Ima Shel Malchus, she completed bringing kingship to Klal Yisrael. David HaMelech said in the Tehillim, in the Halal, Ono Hashem ki ani abdecho. Ani avdecho ben amosecho, pitachte lemeiseroi. Help me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I am your servant. I am the servant, the son of your maidservant. You have parted my chains, my bonds. David HaMelech said, I was bound up to the nation of Moab. The seed of David HaMelech was in Moab. And I was bound there. And who released me from there was Amosecha, your maidservant, Rus. Pitachta lemaiseroi, you have opened, released my chains. It was Rus that brought Malchus to Klal Yisrael. And therefore, Ema Melech is Ima Shel Malchus. Now we see that this is all Mido Kenegan Mido. Every act is paid for. With exactness. The Chazal want to know, what did Eglon do? And what did Balak do? Balak was a Rasha, a wicked king. And Eglon also. What did they do to be zeicha to have a daughter like Ruth? So the Gemara brings him a sech to say to and Mem Zayinom and Aleph. The Gemara says, Leilom yaseh godem b'mitzvah shalei lishma,
Person should always do a mitzvah, even if he doesn't have the total good intent. He'll get paid for it. When Bilam came and he wanted to curse Klal Yisrael, so Moloch went and built 7 altars, and he sacrificed Membeis Korbonis, 42 Korbonis to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I have to repay him for that. The schus, Membeis Korbonis, the schus of the 42 Korbonis. So he had a daughter, a descendant of Rus, that was going to bring Malchus to Klal Yisrael. You gave me honor, then I have to give honor back to you. You built 7 altars to me. You sacrificed 42 sacrifice. He says, I must give you honor back. Then the Chazal say, and what did Eglon do? Ehud came to assassinate Eglon, because Eglon was a Rosho. He wanted him to stand up. So he said, Dvar Seishali Yimalel. He came to him and he said, I have something that I must tell you in secret. And Eglon thought that he had a message from Hashem. So he said, this Goyish king, he said, a message from God, let me stand up. So he stood up from his throne. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, you stood up from your throne to give me honor. Then I will get up from my throne to give you honor. And your descendant, your daughter, Rus, will sit on my throne. Because the throne of David and Shlema, that's the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Malchus Hashem. And I have made it possible that your daughter shall sit on my throne because you gave me from your throne. You stood up for me. We see how everything was exact. What did Rus do? What did Rus do to Bizeha? Rus also. Rus was a princess. She came from royalty and kingship. When Naomi went back to Eretz Yisrael, Rus did not want to forsake Naomi or Amechami or her nation, Naomi's nation. By doing that, she forfeited all of her royalty. She forfeited all of her royalty. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you will forfeit your royalty for my royalty, then I must forfeit my royalty for your royalty. Batosem kisei le'em ha'malko lo'yotso me'aylam. Rus did not leave the world until she sat on the throne next to her great-great-grandson Shlomo HaMelech, who the Chazal tell us ruled Misefer Eilam at Sefer, ruled the entire world, Tachteinim and Elyonim, the lower worlds and the upper worlds. And one final point. What did Rus do, or through what merit, that she became part of Klal Yisrael? The Gemara brings in Masechet Yevamos in Perek Ol. The Gemara tells us, when people a common question you have, that people go and they look for a shidduch. They look for a match, a wife or a husband. They ask, what should I look for? What should I look for? Actually, it's a sif in Shulchan Aruch. In Eben Ezer, Shulchan Aruch says, what should you look for? And it's brought from the Gemara. The Gemara brings in Yevamos and Daf Ein Tes. Gemara says, Shleisha Simonim Yesh Be'umazu. If you want to cleave to this nation, to Klal Yisrael, there are 3 Simonim. There are 3 signs. Harachmonim, Vahabashonim, Ugeim Lechasodim. They must be compassionate. They must be Baishonim. Compassionate, deceive,
Rachmonim, because it's written, Vanosen Lecho Rachami Verichamcho V'Yedecho. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I will give you compassion. So in Klal Yisrael, a man must be compassionate. By Shonim, it states by Matan Torah, Bavur Tia Yirosei Al Pneichem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I am coming to you on Har Sinai, and I want you to see all of this glory, in order that it should make an imprint on your faces forever, where you will be people of modesty and of shame. You will not be arrogant. You will not be poruch. You will not be with arrogance or audacity or chutzpah. But you will be by shonim. Gamele chasodim. And gamele chasodim, you will be people that will want to do good. Lemana she yitzav es bonav es beisei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I have chosen in Avraham because I know that he will make his children into children that will do tzedakah, that will do chesed, do good unto others. David HaMelech once saw a nation that had by trickery had converted into Klal Yisrael the Gibonim, and he saw on them that they didn't have these midos. And he made a decree that you shall not be allow them to marry into the community. Because if they cannot cleave with Klal Yisrael, then it's not a shidduch. They certainly cannot cleave with a husband or a wife. And Shulchan Aruch has brought that when you look for a shidduch, you should look for those three simonim. That they should be compassionate. Doesn't say, you know, degrees or wealth. They should be compassionate. They should be modest and with shame. And they should be gamele chasodim, charitable and good. Rus had come from a nation that lacked these qualities. They lacked these qualities. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ador Asiri Arolam, never let them marry into Klal Yisrael. But Rus herself had freed herself from the influence of these nations to the point where she excelled. She came to a shleimus of perfection in these qualities. Compassion we see that she had with her mother. Here she was a princess. She lived in a palace. She was the daughter of Eglon, the king of Moab, the granddaughter of Balak, the king of Moab. And the whole world was at her feet. Yet she gave it all up to be compassionate towards her mother-in-law, that her mother-in-law shouldn't have to go back poor and empty and alone. By shunning modesty, that was what Boaz noticed right away. Who is this lass? Who is this modest girl? Tzniyos Robo. Her mother told her, dress up and go down to the threshing mill. She couldn't do it. She said, people would think I'm a zona. People would think I'm an immoral woman. She had shame and modesty. And Gamele Chasodim, this, Boaz said, this chesed, it's not enough what you did for your mother-in-law. But now you're giving up a young husband to marry an old man. To do chesed im amesim, not only with the chayim, with the living, but with the dead also. This is even greater. And Boaz said, I must protect your name. So she had freed herself from these bonds, and she was ready to cleave to Klal Yisrael. But to such an extent, to Boaz, and from her, he gave her the six barleys, because from you will be born David HaMelech, who will be blessed with six brachas. So this is the story. And we read this on Shavuos, the time of Matan Torah. There are many reasons for it, but already we can see many reasons. How it's part and parcel with Torah. Actually, this was the Shleimus. This was the completion. Because if you count the generations from Dovid HaMelech and from Shlomo his son, who built the Beis HaMikdash, to Avraham Avinu,
It's 15 generations. And both the Vilna Gaon and the Maral write that this is the complete cycle. In the Beis HaMikdash there were 15 steps going up. David HaMelech wrote 15 Shira Malasim. The complete cycle from the beginning Avraham until the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and in the Haggadah we say Kama Miles Tevis, how many levels HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us, there are 15. This is the complete cycle. The moon comes to its completion in 15 days to a full moon, and Klal Yisrael is compared to the moon. So this was the complete cycle. We should be Zeicha to see the continuity of the Malchus Beis David and the Melech HaMashiach, and we should all be Zeicha to a Chag Sameach, a Chag Matan Teresim.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.